Have you ever been thrilled watching a flock of ducks cup their wings to land, only to have them fly away as a bass explodes out of the water, slamming into a school of minnows? Maybe you have considered the idea of using those times you enjoy on the trail to adventure with others to connect them with their Creator God. Our hope is those outdoor personalities who join us on the program will help you in that way. With that in mind, here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
Well, hello, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, here in Columbus, Ohio at the Archery Trade Association show and chance where folks come in to buy different products to go in the outdoor stores, the archery shops, and it's not a show that you can attend. It's not a consumer show. It's for all of the dealers that have those shops around the country and buy those products that you might be able to buy. A number of folks wind up coming in. Some of those are pros in the outdoor world. I had for a number of years hoping to do an interview with some of the folks from the Duck Commander, Phil Robertson. Saw his son Willie here. Quite a blessing and an opportunity as he was sitting in the Realtree booth, and he's breaking away in between meetings that he has to attend to share with you, the listeners. Willie, welcome to God's Great Outdoors.
How you doing?
Well, Willie, I think that the direction that we want to go here is to educate folks. Not everybody knows what a duck commander is and what that's all about, but had a chance. There was a series that I believe Benelli, the shotgun people, and they do make some rifles as well, but had allowed us a peek into your family, if you will, to see what's going on. Maybe we could start with your dad, Phil, and how all of this transpired, even as a young man from Louisiana growing up and was quite the sportsman. But I'm going to let you share that story.
Yeah, Phil is definitely a unique guy. He had a dream to figure out how to make a living hunting ducks, and he's just ducks. I've gotten him out for a little bit of deer, but he's mostly just ducks. Phil got a master's degree at Louisiana Tech. He played football, and he kind of ended up wasted talent, I guess, so to speak, and he ended all alone, he said, on the show, and there he was. I was real young at the time. There were three boys at the time, and Mom and him, she took off. She said, we just can't do it. And that's what the show really went into more than we even thought it would. And Phil really opened up to where he was and where he had been. And then he drug up down there in West Monroe, Louisiana. We moved to the river, and he had this duck call. He said, we'd sit around the table. He was commercial fishing now at the time, and he was teaching school. And he said, boys, one day we're going to sell $1 million worth of these calls, and we'd all sit around eating fish every day. That's about all we were eating at the time, was a lot of fish. So people talk about eating beans and rice when they don't have any money. We ate fish every day. Any way you could cook a fish, we ate fish. And he started selling these duck calls just one at a time. He'd get in his truck, he'd make a loop. He'd say, boys, I gotta go make a loop. And he would take off selling the calls and come back and get a little money. I never forget, I can remember when he came in and we had made $14,000 that year off the calls, and we thought we were in heaven. We were big time. And we'd talk about cars, and we'd talk about, boys, one day we're going to all have trucks, and we're going to. So it was a real dream, and Phil is great at really giving somebody hope and a dream. That's one of his real talents, and it came out on the show. And, you know, here we are about 30 years later, and pretty much everything he wanted to do, he pulled off. But it wasn't just for him. He gave all the credit to the Lord, and that's how we got here. I think it was 1980 at the New Orleans Superdome. He was up giving a speech about duck calls, and he said it just kind of hit him. He said, I think while I'm here, I'm going to preach a little sermon. And everybody, you know, most of them were about half drunk. Hey, amen, let's go, you know. And so he got his Bible out, and he started giving a little sermon, and he's never stopped since then. And, you know, folks told us, they said, well, you can't bring in spiritual stuff into your business. It's going to kill you. And the Lord just keeps blessing us. And that culminated with the Benelli TV show. America has seen a little glimpse into that, and that, you know, we've got this strange look of beards and hair. We look really wild and really sinful, but actually when you get to know us, it's probably just the opposite. That's the show, and that's, you know, kind of where he got his start and where we ended up.
Certainly we can praise God for where you guys are. And boy, you know, you're shooting a lot of ducks. They're falling like crazy, and they taste so good. And folks, the smell of that aroma also can be a blessing. That's reminding me that my wife, Cindy, is standing by to share today's recipe. Do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish, game, or plants that you harvest. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of activity you do. And you will get a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, for that recipe. We will be right back after Cindy shares this.
With his personally designed frame packed full of boned-out mule deer and ornamented with the buck's antlers, Dwight Shue picks his way down the steep mountain. This weary but satisfied outdoor rider smiles as he heads towards his base camp and then home. But Dwight's pleasant thoughts are not just about a well-executed hunt, but also the Oriental-style meal his wife Laura will prepare with the venison God has blessed him and his family with. To prepare Laura's Shue's wok mule deer, you'll need 1.5 pounds of mule deer, thawed and thinly sliced. Marinate the mule deer for several hours in 1.5 tablespoons of oil, 2 teaspoons of soy sauce, and 1 tablespoon of cornstarch. Heat your wok with 1.5 tablespoons of oil. Quick fry the meat and push to the side. Add some or all of the following: 3 cups of broccoli florets, 2 chopped green onions, 1 cup of pea pods, 2 cups sliced mushrooms, 1 cup of sliced zucchini, and 1 cup of sliced celery. Laura says, "I add more liquid in the form of water and or soy sauce when cooking vegetables. They will still be crisp. Cook it for 10 to 15 minutes, adding the meat back in the last 5 minutes. Serve with rice. This makes 5 to 6 servings. God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything."
We're back. Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again here in Columbus, Ohio, at the Archery Trade Association show with Willie Robertson. And Willie, you ran through it a little quickly, but I think your mom was talking about the fact that your dad was quite a hellion. Your dad made some comments in that direction as well. I've heard some stories about how he came to Christ. Don't know how clear they are. But maybe we could talk a little bit more about your mom's commitment to, I'm sure, praying for your dad and what took place when it came to him coming to Christ.
Yeah, mom really, she really stuck it out with dad and tried her best with all she had at the time. Like I said, there were 3 boys. I was, you know, at the time probably 2 years old. And finally, it just got so bad, she came to West Monroe, Louisiana, which is where we are. She had a some family there, so she came down there. Dad was in hot pursuit by the law, and so he went out and hid out in the woods for about 4 months. And I've heard all kind of stories from guys around there that were around him at the time. And you know, he just really hit that valley. And I think, you know, we all do in our lives. His was certainly a lower valley from all the stuff he'd gotten himself into. And when he came back, he sat down and really thought about, you know, where he was at in life. There was a preacher named Bill Smith that actually came to him when Phil was owner of a bar. And he told Phil, he said, you know, you can change and get out of all this of what you're in. And it was months later when he came back to that same preacher and said, "Tell me more about that." Gave his life to the Lord. He was baptized. And he and mom then, you know, we moved down to the river where we still are, where the show, the house, that's where we grew up. Went down there and really everything changed. He got away from all his friends and all the mess that he had been around and, you know, just started living a real simple life. Just, you know, making his call and fishing. And we grew up living off the land. They had my little brother then. There were 4 boys, all of us down there. And we all helped with the business growing up. Growing up, we didn't watch any TV without folding boxes and sticking calls in them. We used to have to dip the barrels in the tongue oil and hang them out on the racks. That was the daily chores when you got in from school. We had to dip calls, and so we were just all around. And Phil was making all the calls. I mean, he was making every one of them. He'd go off and find wood anywhere, and he'd bring it all in there, saw it up. And I still, to this day, one of the most remarkable things about my father, and there's a lot of them, the one that really gets me, he is not a woodworker at all. He's not. He doesn't tinker around with tools. He doesn't do any of that. But yet he had to figure out how to build a call, and so therefore he ended up building wooden calls. But he's not that kind of guy. He never was a builder or anything. So he really challenged himself to do that. And He was very innovative. He came up with new calls that the industry had never seen, a mallard drake call, or wood duck call. We came up with a gadwall call, teal call. We came up with all these species of ducks, and he would listen, and he figured out how to do that. The pintail whistle call, I'm sure you've all seen the little pintail whistle calls out there. And this is a true story. Dad came up with that little whistle, and I remember when he built it, he took my little brother's Fisher Price music set, and he hacksawed it all up. And I don't know whatever happened to that prototype he had, but I can remember he had it taped up, and that was the what you see now, that little pintail whistle call that he came up with. So innovative, what he the way he was thinking. He had great vision. He did the double reeded call. We still have the patent on the, or had the original patent on a double reeded call. He put two of them together. Phil was always thinking. He's kind of now, he's out of the business, so to speak. He just hunts, and we don't mess with him. He goes to his land. He usually has a couple of hands with him, and breaking down beaver dams and where he wants to be. And I think looking back on his life, it's a great testimony of somebody who was awful and way away from the Lord, who, you know, came back, and really now our entire family lives there. There's several grandchildren. Me and my brothers all live very close to one another. We're all close. My oldest brother's a pastor of our church, and so he keeps us all in line.
Well, we're going to find out more, Willie, about what's going on with the Duck Commander and the family, and even talk about the church, but we need to take one more break. We'll be back after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and their all-new 2020 VXR compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Hello, this is Dr. Tom Rakel, founder and executive president of the Christian Deer Hunters Association. If you're interested in reaching deer hunters with the good news of Jesus Christ, we invite you to write for our free devotional booklet, Devotions for Deer Hunters. Just send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Christian Deer Hunters Association, P.O. Box 432, Silver Lake, Minnesota 55381.
Did you know that one deer can feed up to 200 hungry people? Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry helps hunters return to their God-given heritage as food providers. Please check out our website at fhfh.org or call our toll-free donation number 1-866-GET-FHFH. Help us spread this ministry and get more free hunting gear than the amount you actually donate. And remember, your venison never tasted so good.
We're back. Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, again here at the Archery Trade Association show in Columbus, Ohio, and with Willie Robertson and part of the Duck Commander team, and the fact that everybody is in the family. Your youngest brother is the cameraman doing all the editing, but I believe it's your older brother. You're talking about being the pastor, and you guys even have a camouflage Sunday, which I've had the privilege as a speaking in the outdoors to be a part of some of those kinds of events as well. Why don't you share about the family and the spiritual walk, if you would?
Yeah, that's Duck Commander Sunday, we call it at church, and everyone is encouraged to wear camouflage, and so everybody shows up in that. Now, during hunting season, a lot of times we show up to church in camouflage because we come right out of the blind. Dad still says that he thinks the devil has something in play because he always starts sending mallards down on Sunday morning to tempt him into staying out there. But he always comes back. Usually he's teaching a class, or one of us, all of us have taught classes. And then my oldest brother, the pastor, so he gives the message. And, you know, we all attend there. It's a great place. Everybody knows what we do, obviously, and they know, you know, who we are. Of course, with the cameras coming in for the show, it was fun. Everybody kind of got to see in a little way what we do. And then when it came out on air, you know, they loved it. Yeah, it's just it's a great situation that we have. And like I said, anybody that props us up and says, you guys are so good, we give all the glory to the Lord. We you know, if we didn't, just me and of myself or my family, you know, at our base, you know, we're not good and not like what we'd want to be. So with him, he makes everything better when you yield to the direction that he gives. And my father has shown that. My wife told me one time, she said, you know, because we were dating, we were teenagers. We got married real young at 19 and 18. And she said, you know, most fathers, you know, they tell them to respect them. They give them the rules. And she said, your dad just kind of hotwired y'all straight to God. So it wasn't about him as much as he wouldn't say, do this because I say. He would usually get the Bible out and show me what, you know, what I was doing wrong. So, and we really did. We developed that relationship with the Lord very early. And I've worked in the ministry myself. Jason, Alan, and I all went to seminary. So we got very grounded and rooted in the Word. And we've all done ministry things. And so, you know, we all mix it in, and it's a, you know, really it's every day. Our ministry is every day, just trying to do right by others and get out in the woods and hunt and just look for opportunities to share. And I appreciate this opportunity to share it to the folks.
It's not by accident that we met. God is in control. Certainly, I don't believe in any accidents. Willie, there's maybe a dad listening right now, and he's where Phil was at one time. He needs to turn his heart to the Lord. How he's affecting his family by resisting will have consequences, not just for the here and now, tomorrow, but for eternity. Maybe there's something you could say as a recipient of the blessings of your dad praying to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Well, I think that, you know, if there is a dad out there, you know, we all struggle in life, and we have our highs and our lows. And I think, you know, the relationship I've had with my father is the exact relationship that God tells us that we can have with him, and he puts it to a father-son relationship is the relationship he says we have with him. So, you know, the Lord always puts it in terms where we can understand. We're brothers in Christ, and I have brothers, so I can understand that, and I can understand the relationship my dad has he and I always seen eye to eye? Of course not, but it's the same way with the Lord. I think we all struggle with that at times, and I would say, you know, for guys, just listen. You've got to listen to what's out there. I think God sends people this meeting today, you know, the Lord putting us together. And, you know, my prayer would be that listen to your children, listen to the Lord, and listen for those things that he's telling us. And my father did that. He listened, and, you know, it was an old preacher coming up to a bar, which you wouldn't think that would be the way it happened. And we grew up in the Lord, so it's, you know, we don't have the crazy stories like he has, and thank goodness we don't have the past either. So listen to the Lord and listen to the things that you need to hear, because God will, he will show you that answer.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And today is the day of salvation. Willie, again, not an accident. We got a chance to see each other and do this interview. And just thanks so much for your willingness in between these meetings that are going on and sharing with all the listeners on God's Great Outdoors.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I encourage everyone to, you know, look at your life, and, you know, it can be better if it's bad. If it's great, then give God the glory. And we're going to go try to sell a few products here and then hopefully get back in the woods.
Okay, what about you, friend? Are you, after having listened to what Phil Robertson went through, are you thinking, boy, I wish there was someone who would walk into my life, kind of like come into the bar where I'm at, and actually help me to see who Jesus Christ is and talk about that need that I have, that emptiness, that hole that I've been trying to fill with hunting, fishing, work, sex, sports, so many things, and it just isn't cutting it. I'd like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as does Phil and even Willie, as he was sharing today. Is there someone that could talk to me? Yes, there is. Right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Again, make that phone call, and the number is 1-888, and the words need him. Please, if you'd like to talk to someone about beginning that first-time relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you have some questions, there's some things that you need to know about, you'd like to discuss where you're at positionally and how you can cross over from death, that separation from God if you died this day and do not have the certainty that you'd be able to stand in his presence, and you'd like to be able to speak to someone and find out how you can have that peace that passes all understanding by coming under the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross, you want to begin that relationship now. There's someone waiting there to talk to you, to help you, to be in that same place that Phil and Willie and the rest of the family are when it comes to what would happen to them if they died this moment. They know that they'd have Jesus welcome them in, and you can have that peace as well. Why wait? Call 1-888-NEED-HIM. I do promise you'll be so glad that you did.
Here's a one-that-got-away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. The only career professional bass fisherman Joe Thomas has known is, well, tournament fishing. Joe pushes himself very hard. Another key to his success is the pre-fishing, which helps him get to know the waters he'll be competing on. It was on one of those pre-fishing outings where Joe almost lost his life because of a simple accident. It was 1985, and Joe was involved in the actual official pre-fishing. He was fishing on the Mississippi River near La Crosse, Wisconsin, and was out early on that cold and clear autumn morning. A slight mist of fog hung above the warm water as the chilly air came in contact with the rapidly flowing current. He swung his boat into position in the faster flow near the dam's base and lowered the trolling motor. Beginning to cast into the swift-moving water, Joe worked the area with the hopes of finding a hot spot to hit when the tournament got underway. He was standing in the front of his office, the bass boat, when the fast current caught the watercraft and swung it sideways. The vessel then hit a floating log, which lunged the boat back, throwing Joe off balance and into the 50-degree water. The snowmobile suit, which had worked so well to combat the 40-degree air temperature, was now loaded down with water, and that made staying afloat very tough. He was able to grab the trolling motor shaft with some much-needed rest. Then he worked to the rear of the boat, and with all the energy he had left, worked himself back aboard. Some 9 years later, in 1994, Joe had a vision of what might have been on that Mississippi River that morning years before. While unofficially pre-fishing in New York's Thousand Islands area, he, a friend, and his friend's 11-year-old son made a gruesome discovery. The three were casting to the shore with the boat in 10 to 12 feet of water when the clear water below suddenly revealed a man's body below the surface. Since they were fishing the Canadian side, the Mounties were contacted. The officials, on recovering the drowning victim, found that he had ended his life by tying a concrete block to his leg. Joe had looked into the face of this dead man and saw someone who had given up. Joe had chosen not to. You can see Joe knows he not only wins because of hard work, but because God has a plan for everyone's life. Joe Thomas discovered this plan began when he asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior, and you can too. To learn more, contact us here at God's Great Outdoors, and we'll send you a free copy of The End of the Line by Ron Linder.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? You can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
We'd like to send you a Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Bookmark. To get a free copy, go to the website to order at ggoutdoors.org.
Why don't you prayerfully consider joining us at one of the Fishers of Men retreats in Ontario, Canada. You park your cars, hop onto float planes, and fly into Rushing Wind Retreat Center. A very comfortable setting, gourmet meals, hot showers, guest speakers, an opportunity for you to get out onto the water, enjoying fishing with friends and relatives who you wind up bringing and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These five-day events with everything included, and this is also the flight in and out, are priced a third of what you normally would pay for these kinds of fishing adventures. Contact Rushing Wind at area code 715-683-2530 and consider who it is that you may wind up bringing and seeing them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as you're using God's creation to change lives for eternity.
We're thankful for today's guest and the fact that you joined us as well. We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Please write to us and mail it to 8193 Emmerich Road, West Milton, Ohio, 45383. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.